We're on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, and we're going to count up from the bottom about, I would say, 12 lines. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. So on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, you see the first two words in the line are Tuva Nami. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. What we're talking about is mute. In other words, we have a kosel between two chatzeros, and it's 10 tfachim high. And we're looking for various options and methods of reducing the height of the kosel. Now, you and I might say, well, why not just take off the top couple of layers of bricks? But that's not what we're doing here. What we're doing is we're trying to create a Pesach. We're trying to make it easier to get to a certain point at the kosel, and then it's very accessible to get to the top of the kosel. So, for example, yesterday, you weren't here, Don, so just a very, very superficial review. We spoke about different kinds of ladders. There are some very light ladders that have, let's say, three rungs to them, and you place it up against the kosel. That's not mamayit. Why? Because it's here today and gone tomorrow. It's a davar nital. But if you have a different kind of a ladder, which we call the kosel, a sulam tsuri, that comes from Lebanon, and there they had a bunch of rungs, you know, let's say it was four rungs or more, it was more of a heavy-duty ladder, and then you could be koveya, you could actually set it up almost on a permanent basis as a Pesach, as a way to climb up this ladder to get to the top of the kosel. And in that case, we view the kosel as if it was less than 10 tfachim. And that means that now you have two chatzeros with a chalon. Again, there's no physical chalon, but halachically it's as if they have a window that connects the two chatzeros, and therefore they can create an eruv, allowing Ruvain to climb over the, you know, climb up the ladder, this sulam tsuri, and bring whatever he wants to bring into Shimon's chatzer and vice versa. And now we're going to talk about something called an itztaba, and he sets up this contraption called an itztaba, smack up against the kosel. And now the issue is, would that be mamayit like a sulam tsuri? So what's an itztaba? So he says that an itztaba is a madaf. Madaf is a wooden kind of a platform. It's sort of, it like a little bit reminds me of, I wouldn't make an equation, but of this shtender, right? This is where I keep my sefer. So let's say I would take this wooden platform and smack it up against the side of the kosel. And we had earlier on this daf a brisa that listed, actually it was on Omid Aleph, a brisa that listed three different cases of being mamayit. One was Afar Karka, where he builds almost a mound of dirt on, you know, smack up against the kosel. Then we had a case of piles of wood, of logs, that he piled up against the kosel. And then in the middle we had a case of an itztaba. So that we know already from Amud Aleph, before we get to our sugya, that an itztaba, if it has certain dimensions, we'll have to get into the details, but in principle it will serve to be mamayit and diminish the 10 tfachim height of the kosel, allowing for an eruv chatzeros. But Rav Bibi comes up with a more complicated case, and that is itztaba al gav itztaba. The man sets up two platforms, one on top of the other. So there's the higher platform and the lower platform. And he says the following. There is airspace between the platforms. Im yesh be'itzva tachtona arba. If the width of this platform, of this itzva, is four tefachim, and now we're talking about the tachtona. So it means that the elyona, the top platform, does not meet the grade. It is less than four tefachim. Do we have a right, halachically, I mean, to completely ignore the elyona, kemanda lesedomi, as if it doesn't exist, and simply be mamayit based on the tachtona, on the bottom platform? And the answer is yes, says Rav Baby. Yesh beitzdeba tachtona arba mamayit. So I can completely ignore the elyona, which is less than four tefachim, but it doesn't have to bother me. We don't have to assume that we're going to give status to the Elyona, and since the Elyona is less than four tefachim, therefore we're going to negate its miut power. Forget about the Elyona. We can create a miut based on the tachton. Inami, let's take another scenario. What happens if the Elyona has four tefachim in width, and the tachtona is that fits underneath the top platform? You know, you could imagine that the platform has legs to it, and there's airspace below the top platform, and you fit in a lower platform, a lower plank, if you want to call it that, in the airspace below the elyona. So he says, inami. It's true that the lower platform in this case has less than 10 tefachim, but since Yeshva Elyon Arba, then we can ignore the tachtona, and we can rely on the Elyona, which has the dimensions of 4 tefachim in width, and be mamayit based on the Elyona. Now, the premise of Rabibi, which is going to be clarified in the next line in the Gemara, is that we view these two itztaba'os as separate entities. And therefore, we can pick and choose, for the purpose of miut, which one is going to validate the miut based on the fact that it has the width of four tefachim. Says Rabibi, you have to add another element into the equation. V'ein bein zeh lazeh shlosha. You don't have a space, an airspace, of three tefachim between the top itztaba and the bottom one. And therefore, since it's, we'll call it 2.9 tefachim, the airspace, therefore, it's kisasim, based on lavud, we consider as if it was closed, and therefore the two itztabaos integrate to form one entity. And therefore, mamayit. So that even if there's no shir of dalet tefachim in the tachtona, it doesn't matter. We're going to rely on the integration of the tachtona with the elyona, and that integration is based on lavud, because ein bein zeh lazeh shlosha tefachim. There's only 2.9 tefachim in airspace between the two. And basically what we're looking at is one itztaba, which begins on the bottom in a narrow, and then it gets wider on the top. It's like if you hold an esrog upside down, right? I got esrog on my mind because I have no idea how I'm going to get an esrog. Anyway, so if you hold an esrog on the bottom, or for that matter, lemon, right? So it's narrow on the bottom, and then gets wider. Or an upside-down radish, right? So that's the way we're going to view the itztaba ha-tachtona, which is less than four tefachim in width, but it's close enough to the elyona that we can now consider the tachtona as the bottom part of the elyona. It's all one platform. So let me just read to you a very important line here, which is based on Rashi. And he says the following. He says, Harezek mo itztaba achas, shemaschilo me'a oretz, V'hit sara lemata v'rechava milamala. It's narrow, and then it gets wide. Why do we need this? Why is it critical that we integrate the two itztabos? And Rashi says, mipnei shadovra mamayit, in order to qualify as a mamayit, tzarech shiyeh lo chibur lekarka, velo yeh toli biavir. This is a major, major controversy in the Rishonim. I'm just presenting Rashi's opinion. The dissenting view is like a who's list in Rishonim. But Rashi's view is that there's no such thing as miut for something that's toli biavir, which means the following. I cannot attach something to the middle of the kosel and call that a memayit. It's got to be grounded and attached to the karka. For example, we discussed that little mound that he created of afar, or a pile of logs. We discussed the sulam, a ladder which is firmly rooted in the karka. In the case of the Itzba El Yonah, Rashi argues the Itzba El Yonah in and of itself could not possibly be Mamayit, even if it has the dimensions of four tefachim in width. Why? Because it's totally biavir. We need it to be grounded on earth. So what we do is we insert a lower Itzba in the airspace below the higher Itzba. And the lower itztaba will give the higher one chibur lekarka, an attachment to the karka. But that's conditional on the fact that there's no three tefachim airspace between the elyon and the tachtona. And therefore we can apply the principle in 2.9 of lavud, and we can bridge the gap of the airspace between the elyon and the tachtona, viewing them as one. The elyona, again, it's all one now, but just for purpose of language, the Elyona is going to supply the width of four tvachin. The Tachtona is going to supply the condition of Samach Lekarka, of Chibur Lekarka, I should say. So that the Elyona could be Mamayit because it's not Toli Biavir. When you say it's not Toli Biavir, where are the legs of the Elyona that connected to the Chibur Lekarka? The answer is, it's like a piggyback. It's borrowing the legs of the Tachtona. So what the Tachtona contributes here to this enterprise are the legs which are rooted in the ground. What the Elyona is going to contribute is the width of Arba Tfoch. Now, all this is according to Rashi, because Rashi's premise is that something that's totally biavir could not possibly serve as a memayit. However, the Rishonim reject Rashi, and the question is, how will they interpret the sugya of itztaba? So let me just see if I find the right footnote. Just a second. Okay, so this, we'll have to wait a little bit because the Rishonim actually pop up on Daf Ayin Ches a little bit later on. So let's just be a little bit patient about this. But right now, we understand the mechanics of the sugya according to Rashi. V'omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rava Baravua, Sulam Sheshlivosov Parchos. What's the status of a ladder and the rungs of the ladder? This is not what we usually see as ladders. I would Again, I didn't look up the English here, so... But if you would ask me, I would use a different word here as a translation of the word ladder. I would call it steps. Right? Like my wife, for example, is an interior designer. So very often, if she is designing a house, so the interior architecture requires steps to get from one floor up to the other. Now, the difference between steps and a ladder is that in the case of steps, you have really one platform, so to speak, after another, and you climb up from one to the other. All these platforms are attached to one, let's say, piece of wood. So let's say we had, he doesn't tell you the shlivos of what they're made of. So I'm just going to throw out a possibility that they're made out of wood. And parchos means that you have, so each one of these platforms is tilted on an angle so that you could climb it up, right? Because it would be very uncomfortable if it was on, you know, if it was flat up 90 degrees, smack up against the, you know, that piece of wood that holds on to all the shlivos. So you have the shlivos that look like this, right? One, I don't know if you can see my hands, but anyway, one going diagonal. So the word parchos means that there's airspace between each one of these rungs. Again, it's not like the rung of a ladder, because here, as I said before, it's on an incline. So now the question is, can this set of steps that is now resting or leaning on the kosel, can it be mamayit the kosel? So Rav Nachman says, im yesh b'shliva tachtona arba. If the bottom shliva has the width of four tefachim, mamayit, it reduces and diminishes the height of the kosel, makes it less lower than 10 tefachim. Inami, ein b'shliva tachton arba, but yesh b'shliva elyon arba. And we're going to apply the same methodology and rules that we applied earlier for Rav Bibi, now in Rav Nachman, and that is that there's no airspace of four tefachim between each shliva. I'm sorry, of three tefachim, I meant to say. And the top shliva, in this case, has the width that's necessary. So again, these are steps that start narrow, and as you climb, you get to the top step, which is much broader, wider, and it has the width of four tefachim. Is then it's memayit. So what we're going to see is that if there's no airspace of three tefachim or more between each one of these rungs, then we view all the rungs as sort of like one entity. Which means that I can apply the condition or the requirement of four tefachim to any one of the shlevos. We don't need that they all have to have. Now, Rashi adds another condition. We have to make sure that the bottom shliva, again, whether it's four tefachim wide or not, that's irrelevant to what Rashi says, but we have to guarantee that it's within three tefachim of the karka. So in other words, not only are we calculating 2.9 between one shliva and the other, we're also calculating 2.9 between the karka and the bottom shliva. And the reason for that is because Rashi requires a chibur to the karka, excluding a totally biavir situation. So to get this shliva to be mamayit, and it doesn't matter again whether it's the bottom shliva or the top shliva, we have to make sure that it's got a chibur to the karka, so that the distance, or shall we call it the airspace, between the ground and the bottom shliva is less than three tefach. And that's Rashi again, lishitoso. You know, he's very consistent. Now, The Ritva and Tosus also touches on this question. We want to know, why did Rav Nachman have to tell me what we already know from Rav Bibi? Again, Rav Bibi was talking about a case of an Itzdaba. Rav Nachman is talking about a case of a Sulam, of these steps that go up. But the principles are identical. The requirements are identical. So why do I need both Itzdaba and Sulam? So he says the following. And this is more or less an integration of Tosfos. It's the bottom Tosfos, which is a very long and complicated Tosfos. We're just going to take one point from this Tosfos and the Ritva. And he says the following. Im haya mashmi'enu rak bi'itzur. If we only had Rav Bibi, ha'isi omer, I would have thought shebesulam it shouldn't bother us in the case of this kind of stepladder that there's a distance between each rung of three tfachim, because all of the shlevos are connected together not by the distance and the airspace between one and the other, but by the fact that they are attached to what he calls the back, a gap, right? Nimtza, sheish chibur ben kol ha-shlevos biyachad. And if there's a chibur between all the shlevos biyachad, then this is not a case of avir. Ve'im ha-ya mashmi rak besulam, and if he would have only told me Rav Bibi's principle in sulam, which with the different shlevos, and you require less than three tefachim between each shleva, is ha'yisi omer, I would have thought shebe itzva afilu ein bein shteim gimel tefachim lo yoil. In other words, we wouldn't have integrated the two different platforms, the elyona and the tachtona, mishum shelo nechshav ha'tachtona mima'etes es Ha'avir shetachas el yona. He says that the existence of the lower platform, what we call the itzava, is not going to help us for the top one, because the top one is virtually hanging in the air. So, as we said before, we need the bottom one in order to set up the raglayim, you know, set up that chibur to the karka. Now, I think we have to add just one more element here to explain the big chiddush of Rav Bibi. And that is, there's no climbing, right? In the case of a sulam, of the stepladder that we spoke about, he is climbing from one rung to the other. Add that to the fact that all the rungs are connected to one gav, to one back, and you see how it's very clear that we can integrate all these rungs, and therefore, even if the top rung would be less than four tefachim wide, we can still rely on the bottom rung, and so forth. But in the case of Itzdaba, he's not climbing from one Itzdaba to the next Itzdaba. Each one is a platform. Exactly what he puts on the platform, I don't know. Maybe he puts his, his chavitat beitzim on top, and he eats his breakfast there. And he pulls the lower one out if he has if he has more guests to feed, or I don't know what. Whatever he does with the Itzra. But he's not climbing from one Itzra to the other. And there's really no physical connection between one Itzra to the other. So therefore, I would have thought, if not for a Bibi, that the fact that there's 2.9 tefachim of airspace between the Tachtona and the Elyona, that's not enough to integrate the two. Because functionally, each platform is independent of the other one. All right. Now, here's the note that I wanted to share with you. Harashba v'aritva v'od rishonin. He doesn't give you the whole, he doesn't exhaust the whole list. Cholkim al Rashi, they reject Rashi, v'sovrim shegam miut b'avir moil. That even something which is not grounded is memayit. And they're going to prove this from the sugya later on, Adaf Ayin Ches, about what's called a ziz. Now a ziz, which is the very beginning of Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, is some sort of a plank of wood, and it's attached to the kosel. And under certain circumstances, it's going to be mamayit. It has to have certain dimensions. Now the ziz is toli biavir. It's not grounded on attached to the ground. So the ziz, which is yotzei ben hakosel, again, if it's 19 tefachim high, we'll get into this later. Moil lemayit, it's meaningful and valid to be mamayit. And hareza miut bi avir. Ve'af sherashi birsham shemidubar b'sheyesh sulam tachtov. Now, Rashi is going to interpret the sugya of ziz, that neser, you know, that plank, is almost attached to a ladder. So you go up the ladder, and therefore it has a connection to the karka. It's not miut ba'avir. Ach mistimas ha-gemara, miloshen ha-gemara, lo mash b'shal yesulam tachto. The Gemara doesn't mention a word about the fact that there's a ladder underneath the ziz. Because we betam ha-dover, mishum sha'af, shehu bi'avir, royhu lamod olav v'shtamish b'kosel. He says that anything that's functional, right, he says not functional, like that was my addition. He says lamod olav, that it will hold your human weight. So even though it doesn't have reglayim that connected to the karka, but nevertheless it's connected enough to the sula, to the kosel, such that he can actually climb onto it. Velalos mimenu la kosel, so he can use it as a step. Now he tells you to look in the Moreshes Moshe, who tries to explain this machlokis. I don't have a Moreshes Moshe. I actually have this sefer on Chulin, but I don't own it on Erevin. I'm just going to make a note to myself, if you don't mind. My son got me the volume on Chulin. Maybe he can get me the volume on Erevin. Again, it's complicated because of the corona situation, but all right then. So Rabosa, keep in mind that we have a sheet of the Rashba, the Ritva, and others against Rashi, that even something that is not connected to the ground could still be mamayit, and they prove this from the case of ziz, and therefore what we need over here is the ability to climb up to the top of the kosel. That's what's going to accomplish mimayit. So let's take, for example, the case of Rav Nachman. Right, so you have this stepladder. And what we're going to say is that if the stepladder, if the bottom rung of the stepladder is close enough to the one above it, etc., etc., then he can climb until he gets to the top, and the Shliva Al-Yona is four tefachim wide, and that's going to give him access to the to the top of the coast. So that's Mamai. So he's basically using this stepladder to get to the top of the coast. In the case of the Sulam, I'm sorry, that's the case of the Sulam. And in the case of the Itzdaba, according to these Rishonim, if you don't need a platform that is connected to the Karka, so why is it so important that the Tachtona is less than four tefachim below the Eliona? That I don't know. Okay, so that's a piece of the puzzle that we're missing. The Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabba Bar Avua, and now we have another statement in the same tradition of Rav Nachman in the name of Rabba Bar Avua, and this is to be Mamait the coastal through Zizim. So we're now on the top of Ein Chesem and Aleph. And he says, Ziz HaYotzi Min HaKosel. So you have a kind of piece of wood that is connected to the wall. And that's called a Ziz. And if it has Arbal Arba Tefachim, so it's got to have a width of four tefachim and a length of four tefachim. V'hiniach olav sulam kol shehu miato. So that you have this, again, kind of a platform. It's four tefachim by four tefachim. And it's attached to the kosel. And now he leans a ladder against the outer lip of this platform. So now, according to Rashi, how could this ziz be mamayit? It's actually totally biavid. The answer is because once he leans the ladder against the platform, now the platform merges together with the ladder and it has its own raglayim. It's now connected to the ground. But we have another condition. V'lo amaran eladi osvei ale. That only applies if the ladder, the top of the ladder, reaches the platform. The ziz. Avol osve behade. Let's say he has a platform, and on the left or on the right, he has a ladder, a sulam. Is arvuche arvuche. He writes, Hareze kemoshe hirchiv es aziz limokom hasulam. So that he expands the space, or the distance, if you will, between the ladder and this platform, and therefore he's not climbing up the ladder to reach the platform, to reach the ziz. And the ziz itself cannot serve now as a mamayit. And Rashi's going to say again, because the ziz is floating in air, it's not grounded in the karka. He says in the footnote that, just one second, that when would the ziz be valid to be mamayit? That's in a case where he has a sulam that's leaning on the ziz. Now, the sulam itself is a kolshu, which means that it doesn't have the width of 4 tefachim. So the sulam itself, in and of itself, would not be memayit. But if it can be connected to the ziz, and we view them all as one entity, then it could be memayit. So the note he writes, ubelvad shaharevach bein shlavei asulam yeh pachos mishlosha tefachim. So although we don't require that the width of the ladder be 4 tefachim, but nevertheless, the ladder is now serving as part and parcel of the memayit, meaning it becomes the legs of the ziz, and we integrate the two. So therefore, the requirement in the sulam that there's no airspace of 3 tefachim between one rung and another will apply here. So ultimately, the step that will lead him or give him access to the kosel is the ziz, which has 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. The sulam doesn't have to have 4 tefachim. It could be a kolshu because he's not using the sulam as the mamayit. The mamayit here is the ziz. He needs that the sulam be attached to the ziz. So now the ziz can serve as his pesach, if you will, as his projectile, you know, to get onto the top of the kosa. And he needs that the sulam have the legs of the ziz that are attached to the ground, because Rashi holds there's no miyud in toli biav. However, how does he get access to the ziz? And the only way l'chori he can get access to the ziz and use the ziz to project him to the top of the kosel is through the sulam. He's climbing up the sulam to get to the ziz. If that be the case, then we have to guarantee, says Rashi, that there's no airspace between any of the rungs of this ladder that's 3 tefachim or more. So I'll read it one more time. Ubilvad sheharevach bein shlavei asulam yeh pachos mishlosha tefachim. Aval im harevach hu yoseh mishlosha tefachim ein moil. So it means that when we say that this ziz is mamayit, in the case of hiniach olav sulam, what we're saying is that the sulam is integral to the ziz, and together they are mamayit. So the sulam becomes now the way he sort of projects himself to the ziz, and then from the ziz he's going to climb onto the kosel. But the sulam is an integral part of the ziz and of the miut, and therefore we have to guarantee that there's no airspace more than 3 tefachim between one rung of the ladder and the next rung of the ladder. Now we have another statement of Rav Nachman in the name of Rabba Baravua. Kosel Tishasar tzarch ziz echad latiro. But kosel shal esrim tzarch shnei zizim latiro. If the kosel is 19 tfachim high, then one single ziz is enough to be matir. How? We're going to put this ziz directly, we're going to locate the ziz directly in the middle, in such a way that there's less than 10 tfachim above the ziz till the top of the kosel, and less than 10 tfachim below the ziz to the karka. But if the kosel is 20 tfachim, then one ziz will not have 10 tfachim above and 10 tfachim below. And that's because the ziz itself takes up space. So therefore you need a second ziz. Amar Rav Chisda, vehu. Now, it's when these two zizim work. Shehimidon ze shelo keneged ze. He should not place the zizim one on top of the other. You know, in other words, aligned in a straight line, but rather one ziz should be here on one side of the kosel, and the other on the other side of the kosel. Shalo keneged ze. Ze shalo keneged ze. Why is that important? Why does Rav Chisda add this stipulation that in order to be mamayit, you have to guarantee that these two zizim are separated one from the other? And the answer is because each ziz in and of itself could not be mamayit because it's toli biavir, and we have to add a sulam. How would you add a sulam to two zizim and have the ladder lean on the ziz when you have to have a ladder for each ziz unless you separate the two zizim? But if they're aligned one on top of the other, then logistically there's just no possibility of setting up a sulam for this is, and a sulam for that ziz. And as we said before, Rashi's shita is that a ziz per se could not be mamayit because it's totally biavir. And the only possibility for the ziz to be mamayit is if it has a sulam. So each ziz in and of itself, in order to be mamayit, is going to require its own sulam. And if the two zizim are situated one on top of the other, that's going to be impossible. Now, I have a picture here of this last discussion that we had here of Rav Nachman in the name of Rabba plus Rav Chisda. And in this description, he's got one ziz on the bottom, on, let's call it, the left side of the kosel. He's got another ziz much higher up on the right side of the kosel. And he's got a sulam that leads from the ground. It leans on the left, which is the lower ziz. And then he's got on the other side of the ziz another ladder that leads him up to the second ziz that's on the right side and is higher up. So it's like you climb up to a platform and then you climb up to the next platform. It reminds me of a diving board. But let's say you want to dive from 10 feet. You know, now you have this great athlete who wants to dive from 20 feet high. So you have a ladder that takes you up to one diving board, and then you have the extension of that ladder that goes up another 10 feet into the higher diving board. Now again, we're going to have to add the following conditions. We're going to have to assume that the distance between the two zizim, if you were to draw a straight line up from the bottom ziz to the level of the top ziz, it's got to be less than 10 tefachim. And also, let's add another condition, that each ziz has to have 4 tefachim square. Now, what's not absolutely clear in the diagram, but I think you have to add this, is that each ziz we're talking about a kosel that is 20 tefachim high. So that each ziz would have to be less than 10 tefachim. Right? You can't have 10 tefachim between the top ziz and the kosel. Why? Because then you're not going to accomplish miut. Right? Miut has to always reduce it below 10 tefachim. Now, the bottom ziz is going to be less than 10 tefachim from the ground. Am I right? And again, I think what we have to consider here is the thickness of the ziz. That's the only solution to my problem, meaning the ziz itself takes up a certain amount of space. So you've got the bottom ziz that's being mamayit 9.9 tefachim, and you've got the top ziz that's being mamayit another 9.9 tefachim, and so that together, you know, by the time you get to the top ziz, you're very, you know, you're within 10 tefachim of the height of this kosel, and therefore could accomplish the goal of being mamayit. Okay. Now, the sugya that we're up to now of Amar Rav Huna, which we'll b'li neder cover tomorrow, is going to deal with a case of an amud is a pillar, and it's standing in a Rishus HaRabim, and it's 10 tefachim high, and it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, and that gives it the status of a Rishus HaYochid. And the sugya Rav Huna is going to address the question, how could we be mamayit this, let's say, the width of it, let's just throw out the idea of the width of the pillar, in order to remove its status as Rishus HaYochid. So again, at this point in the sugya, we're dropping the whole concept of creating a chibur between the two chatzeros and overcoming the problem of the barrier of the kosel between the two chatzeros. And now we're really onto something totally different. But the linkage here is the concept of being mamayit. And Rav Huna, in the new sugya that we're going to cover tomorrow, is wondering about how you would be mamayit an amud b'shus rabim gavah aser v'rochav arba, meaning to reduce its dimensions in such a way that it loses its status as a rishus hayoch. Okay then, so this is where we're going to stop for today. So let's just make a note, we're on Daf Ayin Chesamid Aleph, and we're approximately 8 or 9 lines down from the top. Okay then, so let me wish you a great day, and tomorrow we'll get together again in Mitzvah.